people can still continue to face immigration consequences for marijuana arrests, which is, you know, a huge concern in this moment.
I don't think any of the students who have known Brother Ed will ever be able to really forget or move on. But I do think that as a college, we will come together.
You don't have to be so myopic to be great at something.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. On this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, Governor Andrew Cuomo signs a bill decriminalizing marijuana possession in New York. We remember the late president of Siena College, and a gymnastics star is coming to Albany. But first, a number of groups, including the New York Immigration Coalition and Citizen Action of New York, gathered Monday outside the Rensselaer County building to discuss their lawsuit to block the County Board of Elections from disclosing residents' personal information to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement when they register to vote. The critics argue the move violates the Federal Voting Rights Act. Along with fellow Republican and Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin, County Clerk Frank Merola has also filed a lawsuit opposing New York's green light law, which would allow immigrants in the U.S. illegally to apply for a New York driver's license. Well, Governor Andrew Cuomo has signed a bill into law that further decriminalizes marijuana possession in New York. The law ends criminal prosecution for possession of up to 2 ounces of cannabis. The Democrat also signed new gun control measures. Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt reports.
Under the law, possession of up to 1 ounce of the drug would be punishable by a $50 fine. Having up to 2 ounces of cannabis would bring a $200 fine. The measure also creates a mechanism to expunge the records for some past marijuana convictions. Emma Goodman with the Legal Aid Society of New York says the measure is a step forward. She says it helps communities of color that have been disproportionately targeted by the state's marijuana laws, but she says it also falls short.
I don't think it's going to make a big enough difference. I do think that people that have been harmed by the era of broken windows policing will be somewhat affected by it in a positive way, because there are people that have a bunch of low-level marijuana convictions that they won't have anymore.
Melissa Moore with the Drug Policy Alliance says the new law does not go far enough to address what she says are the collateral consequences of decades of marijuana criminalization. And she says the new law does not prohibit police from making arrests if they catch someone possessing marijuana.
They can continue to face parole and probation violations for marijuana. They can keep being separated from their children in ways that are very problematic over a low-level arrest, where there's no sort of documentation or any sort of indication of harm. And people can still continue to face immigration consequences for marijuana arrests, which is, you know, a huge concern in this moment.
The Drug Policy Alliance, Legal Aid Society, and other advocates say they will continue to press lawmakers to legalize the adult use of recreational marijuana. They were unable to get enough votes in the state Senate for passage. But Moore with the Drug Policy Alliance says polls show support among New Yorkers for legalization, and she hopes to have more success in the 2020 legislative session.
It's an incredibly popular issue across the state. And even in, you know, some of the battleground areas that, you know, members had a lot of concerns about when we did polling in their districts, we actually found that people who were likely 2020 voters in those demographics, in those districts, were actually more likely to support a candidate that had supported marijuana regulation. So, you know, I think absolutely we'll be back.
Cuomo also signed gun control measures approved by the legislature last January. One requires a 30-day waiting period for a gun sale if the purchaser is flagged in an initial background check. The Senate sponsor of the measure, Senate Deputy Majority Leader Michael Gianaris, spoke on the floor when the bill was passed.
The FBI itself says on average it takes about 20 to 25 days for a background check that has been flagged to be completed. And this is the most common sense of common sense proposals.
Another measure outlaws the possession and transport of so-called bump stocks, devices that further accelerate the speed of semi-automatic weapons and that have been used in prior mass shootings. The action comes one day after a shooting at a California food festival killed 3 people, including a 6-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Siena College President Brother Edward Coghlan, known as Brother Ed, died early Tuesday at the age of 71 after complications from non-emergency heart surgery in Rochester. WAMC's Capital Region Bureau Chief Dave Lucas reports.
Siena College President Brother Edward Coughlin died early Tuesday at age 71 after complications from non-emergency heart surgery in Rochester. The college says Coughlin suffered a catastrophic stroke July 23rd while undergoing the surgery at Strong Memorial Hospital in Rochester to correct a congenital heart defect. Spokeswoman Lisa Witkowski says the private liberal arts college in Loudonville is in mourning.
Brother Ed was a very intelligent and very gracious individual. He was also a very humble man with a terrific sense of humor. He will truly be missed at Siena.
A campus remembrance got underway in the morning after the news of Coughlin's death broke overnight. Campus chaplain Father Larry Anderson says Coughlin was very connected with the students.
He was always in the dining hall. He was at the sporting events. He was where the students were, and they appreciated that. And they knew that he cared for them.
In October 2015, Coughlin was officially inaugurated as Siena's 11th president after spending 3 years as a trustee, ascending to interim president in August 2014, when Father Kevin Mullen resigned to become provincial minister of Holy Name Province. Coughlin, a Buffalo native and lay friar, was involved in Franciscan higher education for over 45 years. He was the first non-cleric to be the leader of Siena. He had announced he was planning to step down when his current contract ended in August 2020. A search for his successor is underway. Now, for the first time in its 81-year history, Siena will be led by a layperson and by a woman. Siena Vice President for Academic Affairs, Margaret Madden, agreed to fill Coughlin's remaining term.
In the last 4 years, we have created 9 new academic programs, 8 bachelor's degrees and an MBA, Master of Business Administration. We have reshaped a lot of student support services, in particular services for students who need a little bit more help to be successful. Siena has a really high retention and graduation rate compared to our peer colleges, and we work hard at that to give students that support. And so he reinforced all of that. We created an internship office to allow students to more easily get internships. They've always had them, but now we have more support for that. So a lot of the plan was driven by a desire for students to be successful here.
Madden, who was Coughlin's pick to serve as interim president, says Coughlin was one of the kindest, gentlest, most inspirational leaders she'd worked with over more than 30 years in higher education administration. Student Senate President Zachary Coder.
I don't think any of the students who have known Brother Ed will ever be able to really forget or move on. But I do think that as a college, we will come together as a community, we will grieve, we will mourn, but that we will ultimately be able to move forward on the path that Brother Ed set us on.
Witkowski says a funeral is being planned at St. Bonaventure University, where Coughlin was an alumnus and professor before coming to Siena. She says Siena College will host a memorial service September 17th. The college says he is survived by a brother, 4 sisters, and several nieces and nephews. Dave Lucas, WAMC News.
In August, Albany will be the center of women's sports when the first Aurora Games come to town for 5 days. A gymnast who went viral earlier this year is one of the major attractions. Caitlin Ohashi became known as the Perfect 10 due to her flawless performances on the floor and balance beam, and graduated from UCLA this spring as a 10-time All-American. Her perfect floor routine has been viewed millions of times online. During the second day of the Aurora Games, which start August 20th at Albany's Times Union Center, gymnasts from Team World will compete against those from Team Americas. Ohashi, now 22, spoke on a conference call.
It's a different side to gymnastics because typically there aren't like pros and it's not something you can do after college. So this event is just a really cool opportunity for especially gymnasts, I would say, but everyone.
It'll be a reunion of sorts for Ohashi and longtime Bruins gymnastics coach Valerie Condos Field, who gave Ohashi a fresh start in college after she confronted body shaming while rising through the gymnastics ranks.
I am proud of the example that she's showing to other people, especially young girls, that you don't have to be so myopic to be great at something.
Miss Val just retired from UCLA after nearly 4 decades on the coaching staff and 7 national titles. At the Games, Condos Field will administer the gymnastics competition.
Whether it's social media or whether it's just how we all grow up, girls can be mean. And when you see any time I've been a part of something like this, like I said in my opening statement, women supporting women, there's an energy and a love that comes out of this that has not even an inkling of jealousy or mean girl spirit. And it's super important for especially young girls to see girls supporting girls.
Ohashi says the Aurora Games will be her farewell to competition after her stellar college career. But gymnastics wasn't all she focused on at UCLA.
I mean, honestly, I went to college to learn, and I think I did that and like just experience life. So I would say I'm trying to change the world and do kind of everything that makes my heart and soul sing.
Whatever happens in Albany, Ohashi expects to be busy afterward.
My plate's pretty full right now, so I have been pretty busy with speaking engagements and just like traveling all over. I have my September decently full, and then I will continue on with all that speaking engagements. I am going to try and write a couple books.
Basketball, hockey, and tennis are among the other sports that will be part of the Aurora Games. There's more information about the event at WAMC.org. And that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.